I don't know whether even the Star Trek cast members of Enterprise are aware of the venerable political history of space activism that Star Trek has played in this country and in this nation's space program.
Some may, but not a lot, because some of the newer members of Star Trek probably aren't aware of that.
Well, when you look at the opening of the Enterprise series, that opening film with the music and all that, what the producers did is they very elegantly put in some of the history of that involvement that we were directly responsible for in the opening of Enterprise. So I have a very fond spot in my heart for the Enterprise series, and frankly, that's one of the reasons I don't want to see it go down without a fight. If you look carefully, you'll see that it's a kind of a historical reprise of a series of historical ships that over the centuries have been named Enterprise. And there is the Space Shuttle Enterprise, very prominently featured. And then there's previous ships and post ships, and then finally you wind up with the USS Enterprise, the starship that precedes the famous, starship of Captain Kirk. Well, what the audience may not know, and what Jolene may not know, and what a lot of the members who work on the series who are new may not know, is that all of that, in fact, is real archaeological and archival history in the flesh. Back, it was 1976, I believe, in the spring, I was at a meeting in a suburb of Washington, D.C., which was a kind of a space activist group, and we would get together, probably once or twice a month. And this particular night, it was kind of a thrill, because George Takei was at the meeting. And you remember who George Takei is.
Yes.
He played Sulu in the original series.
Yes, and I've seen him walking, did I see him?
Yeah, you commented one.
Yes, I did.
Saw him in a mall or something.
Yes.
Yeah, well, George has always been very interested in the real world, and people may or may not know that Gene Roddenberry and I became friends way, way back, many, many years ago, and I became a kind of an informal consultant to the first series, and that, of course, dates me. But be that as it may, George was at this meeting this night, and a friend of mine, who was a policy consultant to the White House, who also was a friend of mine, so he was into the kind of interesting stuff I was into, came kind of swinging by on his way home, and we all sat down, and there were some discussions about, where the space program was going, where NASA was going, and this was back in the mid-70s, so we were just off the peak of the Viking experience, and it was a very heady time. So the conversation turned to what my friend have been talking to some big mucky muck in the White House about, and they've been talking about the space shuttle, which of course then was a twinkle in NASA's eye, because we didn't have a shuttle. And my friend said, I kind of said as a joke, why don't we call the damn thing the Free Enterprise? And we all looked at each other, and I said, would you mind saying that again? And the upshot was that we decided to mount a national campaign with the help of a few people, including Carol Rosen, who, as you know, was a consultant to Wernher von Braun in those years.
Okay, right.
And with the use of some phones at a corporation that he and she worked for, they would let me drive out, and we had free phones back in the days when free phones all over the country was really useful. And we organized with the help of a gal named Bijo Trimble, who was a very important member of the Star Trek fan community back in those days, a campaign coast to coast from sea to shining sea. And according to the Washington Post, in July of 76, just around the time of the landing of a Viking, we were able to dump 400,000 letters on the White House and NASA, from Star Trek fans all over the country, asking them very nicely to please change NASA's plans to call the first space shuttle Constitution and name it Enterprise instead.
How about that?
And then in September, I went to California to, of course, cover the Viking landings, and I was there with Carl when those first pictures came in, Carl Sagan when the first pictures came in from Viking in that pre-dawn where it looked like it was Arizona or New Mexico, with the blue sky and the sandy deserts and all that. And I had this incredible Viking summer, which is another whole couple of shows. So in September, right around the time of the second landing of the second spacecraft, I was awakened at like 5 or 6 in the morning by my friend from the White House. And he said, Dick, the president did it. I said, what? He says, yes, the president has overruled NASA and they're going to call her Enterprise. And he gave me the story. It seems that James Fletcher, who was then the administrator of NASA, came into President Gerald Ford's office that morning, because it was 3 hours later back east, and he had a little model of the space shuttle with him. And he was, you know, sitting in the Oval Office, and, you know, he stood up and he came toward the president and he said, Mr. President, we want you to come to the christening and the rollout, and we're going to, you know, call her Constitution. And according to my friend, eyewitness, he said the president came around his desk, put his hand on Fletcher's shoulder, and says, no, Jim, we're going to call her Enterprise.
I love it.
Don't you love it?
That's a great story.
Well, what it shows is why this series, this idea, this dream of my dear friend Gene Roddenberry is so critical. Because what we mounted in that campaign was the first effort of the space constituency to basically demand something of its space program. And without belaboring the point, you know, we might do it later on through the evening when David joins us, NASA's reaction back then was as churlish and as mean-spirited and as bizarre over something as simple as people simply wanting to name their shuttle what they wanted as any of the reactions that we have reported on this program over the ensuing years.
So they even fought that?
Oh, they fought it tooth and nail. They sent representatives to Star Trek conventions. Remember how Jolene said she's never been to a Star Trek convention?
She's got one coming up in March.
Oh, she
has
first one. Incredible experience coming up. Because there's where you meet real people who have one foot on the ground, you know, in normal, real lives, and another foot somewhere out there where they know the human species has to go if it is going to survive. So I was so thrilled to hear last night basically say with Hawking that unless we get off this planet in a big way, we're not going to make it, because that's exactly what I feel and why I put so much effort into what we've been doing all these years.